Check 1, 2, 3, check 1, 2.
It's your battery.
Check 1.
Which battery? That's your light.
I believe.
Get it?
Yeah, just 2 seconds. Well, if you want it.
Check 1, 2.
Amen, Jack. I want to thank you, Jack. Howard and Vestal Goodman were two of my heroes growing up when I was beginning to learn to appreciate gospel music. And I remember Howard singing that so many times. He did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as always, thank you for being here. And I pray the Lord's spoken to your heart and, in a personal way. And if he hasn't already, that he will before the service is over. It was last Sunday that I came to the end of our sermon series on the book of Romans on Sunday morning. It was a series that lasted about 4 months, and it's time now for me to try to decide which direction we're going to take for the next series coming up starting next Sunday. But I want to share with you a message. It's a little bit unusual for Sunday morning, unusual because it's a topical message. A little bit unusual because it's based on a verse, John 3:16, that may be, well, certainly is one of, if not the most familiar verse in all the Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In just a moment, I want us to think together briefly about four things God does not know. And I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts through this message this morning because he's dealt with my heart in preparing it. And I don't have any recollection of ever having preached this message before. One of the things the Lord has wonderfully blessed me with, and Jack, you kind of went down memory lane a little bit with us today, which is wonderful. But for 14 years, God gave me the privilege of preaching in old-time revivals across most of the Southeast. It was a wonderful time for me, and it was a tough time for Sweet Libby because I was gone a great deal. But the Lord blessed us in a wonderful way. And I had the privilege of being in all kinds of churches, large churches and small churches and alive churches and not so alive churches. I was in all kinds of churches. But it was a season in my life when I enjoyed sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel and telling people how to be saved. And God's given me the privilege of seeing a number of people, like you said, Jack, a lot of folks saved through the years, and God's to get all the honor and the glory. But I want to share with you this morning four things God does not know. I was thinking as I was preparing for this week that on Sunday morning we just assume that probably everybody's going to be saved that comes to church on Sunday morning. Well, that may be true. I hope that it is. But the truth is, you can't assume that. And any pastor, every pastor ought to preach clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus so that nobody leaves without understanding what it means to be saved. It wasn't many weeks ago in this place we had someone worship with us on Sunday morning who did not know that in a few days they were going to slip out into eternity in a tragic car accident. And I just was reminded, Lord, help us always to share the gospel message in a clear, concise way where people can rejoice in their assurance of salvation or settle their doubts or give their hearts and lives to Jesus. What could you say about four things God does not know? Well, first of all, God does not know a sin he does not hate. Now keep that in mind. God does not know a sin that he does not hate. Years ago at Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, where Dr. Percy Ray was the pastor, I had the privilege of going and hearing Dr. R.G. Lee preach for the first time I'd ever heard him. One of the most amazing sermons I ever heard. And a part of what he said was how God feels about sin. And Dr. Lee said something kind of like this. He said, sin is not some disagreeable hindrance to the smooth ongoing of the social machinery. You need to know Dr. Lee. He was a master with words. Sin is not anything good. It's not goodness in the making. It's wrong. Sin is a madness in the brain, a poison in the heart, a leprosy of the life, a cancer in the soul. God does not know any sin that he does not hate. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You can write everything that's wrong in this world, everything, with one word, sin. And our biggest problem is a sin problem. And before we're saved, we're ruled over by sin, dominated by sin. After we're saved, we struggle with it for the rest of our lives until the Lord calls us home, until we find victory indeed over the things the devil tries to tempt us to do. God hasn't signed the peace treaty with our culture. God has not backed away how he feels about sin. God still hates sin with every fiber of his eternal being. And we won't ever really understand the glory of the gospel and the majesty of what it means to be saved until we understand God hates sin. He hates sin so much that he emptied heaven. He gave his only begotten Son on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt for us. So number one, God does not know any sin that he does not hate. So the next time you find yourself tempted, the next time you find yourself trying to decide where your actions or decisions will fit in a culture that's sliding downhill fast, ask yourself the question, is this a sin? Now I need to be reminded, God will hate any sin, every sin, all sin. But secondly, four things God does not know. God does not know a sin he doesn't hate, but God does not know a sinner that he doesn't love. Now let that resonate with you for just a moment. God does not know a sinner that he doesn't love. And I must confess to you, I struggle with that a little bit. In theory, I've made a decision to love everybody because of what the Lord wants me to do. But I remember not long ago, we had gone to a particular place to eat, and there was a waiter that came out that was apparently trying to make a declaration to the world about what he had decided concerning his gender. And I must tell you, everything within me revolted. Everything within me said, Lord, how can anybody live this kind of a life? And I realize there are people like that everywhere. And God's put us here as a gospel lighthouse and as a light in a dark world to tell people, God hates your sin, but God loves the sinner. And folks, if you want to think about how great our God is, think about he's a God who loves us no matter what we've done. The thief on the cross would say, I deserve the death I died. I didn't realize that Jesus was dying in my place for me so that I could have everlasting life. Four things God does not know. God does not know a sin he doesn't hate. God does not know a sinner he doesn't love. I was privileged to be in Texas in a Southern Baptist convention, and they had a sweet lady, and I've mentioned her before here, Iris Ballou. Anybody ever hear of Iris Ballou? Iris Ballou was... She came to the platform there in the Southern Baptist Convention. I believe it was in Houston or maybe Dallas. I don't remember. But they introduced Iris Ballou as a former prostitute who had walked the streets of Houston, been a prostitute for a number of years. And inside of me, there was a little voice that thought, of all the people we could have asked to speak at the Southern Baptist Convention, why did we settle on a prostitute? Well, two reasons. One, she came with a message of having been delivered and set free by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. She had been gloriously saved, and God had given her a ministry to reach the most prostitutes on the streets of Houston, Texas. Amen. And God needed to remind all of us at the Southern Baptist Convention, we weren't there to shut out the world. We were there to learn how to better reach the world for Christ. What does God not know? God doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. So the next time you feel that sense of revolt inside of you because of people's unbelievable lifestyle choices. Remember, God loves them and calls us to love them as well. God doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. God doesn't know, number three, any other way to be saved. A lot of things change in our world. A lot of things are socially acceptable now that weren't a long time ago. But one of the things that will never change is how to be saved. The Bible tells us that neither is there given any other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name but the name of
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. And the truth is, I'm not saved by just joining a church. I'm not saved by doing good deeds. I'm not saved by just refashioning my life. I'm saved when I give my heart and life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I make him the master of my life. And you only say, you know, now, I can appreciate and respect my Buddhist friends and Islamic friends, but I tell you, Muhammad won't get you to heaven. Buddha won't get you to heaven. And being religious won't get you to heaven. Only this precious blood of the sweet Lamb of God. And I realized this last week as I was preparing the message for the morning, that though we may not have a whole lot of lost folks in our service here, we're on Facebook every week. And sometimes we're on YouTube, I believe. Wayne, I think we are sometimes. And who knows who's out there listening to a gospel, trying to find a gospel message. Who knows how far the arms of our ministry extend. Who knows who all is touched by our ministry. And so I wanted a Sunday morning where we just shared the old time clear gospel of the Lord Jesus so nobody could possibly understand what it means to be saved. Truth number one, God does not know a sin he does not hate. And that won't change. God does not know a sinner he does not love. I get to thinking about the record of the New Testament, what it must have been like for blind Bartimaeus for Jesus to stop and put his hands on him and heal him and give him back his sight. What it must have been for all those, the woman at the well, when Jesus said, I've given to you living water. Jesus didn't come to be religious. He came to be a redeemer and to take our place on Calvary's cross. God does not know another way to be saved. Number four, God does not know a better time than now to be saved. God does not know a better time. Years ago, there was a wonderful preacher in Arkansas who had a message on God's three deadlines. And he talked about those times that come when it is our last opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus. And the truth is, God may be dealing with you, and God wants everybody to be saved. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here's the truth. God wants you to be saved, but there will come a time in life when you may hear God's call for the very last time. You may not know it's the last time, probably won't. You won't have any reason to know it's the last time, but the truth is, one of the most dangerous things anybody can do is say no to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. One of the most dangerous things we can do is say, Lord, I'll wait, because we'll put it off to some other time when things are more suitable or more conducive to me coming, or at least I think that's the case. The truth is this, there's no better time. God doesn't know any better time. In fact, the Bible says today is a day and now is accepted time. And by the way, that passage there's no other name given under heaven among men is in Acts chapter 4. So if you look at your outline and you realize what happened with John, that should be Acts chapter 4, verse 12. But number four, God does not know a better time than now to be saved. Behold, today is the day, and now is accepted time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. No matter what you've done, God knows you, God loves you, and God wants you to put your faith in him today. God wants you to come just like you are, and he'll clean you up. It's kind of like the old boy said about fishing. He said, you catch him, and I'll clean him. The truth is, the Lord says, you catch him, and I'll clean him. And he'll turn your life around. He'll transform your life. He'll make you into a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the truth is, This is a soul-winning station. Our sole responsibility is to be sharers of the gospel and say to the world, though God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't hate, he loves you. God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love, not a one. God doesn't know any other way to be saved. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. God does not know a better time than now to be saved. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to be clear about the gospel and help us with a sense of urgency to share the good news of the lost world. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you're an awesome.